Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. Every year, you guys, we set these big intentions, and not because we're unrealistic, but because we actually care. And the hard part isn't wanting change, but it's staying connected to it once life starts doing what life does. And therapy can be a place to sort through all of that mental clutter. Like, name what actually matters to you, and then have someone in your corner helping you stay aligned with it. Not in like a judgmental way, but in a grounded, realistic one. And that is a huge benefit for therapy. Like, as you start to peel back the layers of what's truly weighing on you, oftentimes you can find that new year's new lease on life any time of year. It doesn't have to be right at January. This is honestly the centerfold of my own therapy journey. Like, part of what made me realize I needed to find some help was slowly losing my passion for my hobbies. It felt like work to engage with them. Sometimes I even dreaded doing them. But what my therapist and I worked on together was discovering that the passion wasn't gone, it was just buried. And when you realize that rediscovering your passions or ambitions is what you're digging for, it can be a bit like a treasure hunt. And BetterHelp therapists can help you on this journey. They work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the US. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with qualified therapists. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, today's message goes out to a very specific corner of the Little Kernel community. Those of you who carry that secret in your heart. The secret says, I can do this. I can open my own business. Yeah, I know you're out there, Janet. Probably. Yeah, it would be so cool if somebody named Janet is like, is he talking directly to me right now? And I am, Janet. I am. But starting your own business isn't all about becoming a mogul, launching an IPO, or doing other fancy business-sounding things. It's not a secret you're carrying in your heart, Janet. It's a passion for a thing you want to do. And Shopify is there to help you on your path to greatness. And the best part is, as you grow, Shopify grows with you. Handle more orders, expand to new markets, and do it all from the same dashboard. So Janet, or whoever you are, probably Bill or Rob, maybe Kylie even, in 2026, stop waiting and start selling with Shopify. And sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/poppop. Go to shopify.com/poppop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop. Hear your first this new year with Shopify by your side. Y'all, tour season is upon us, and we've just added a bonus show to the roster. Jay and I will be heading to Madison, Alabama on May 23rd in partnership with the Rocket City Trash Pandas minor league baseball team for a one-of-a-kind experience. We will have a full live show, complete with meet and greet, Jay vs. Ben, and a live recording of Through the Gryffindor, plus admission to the Trash Pandas game. Pricing for this show is a little bit different. There's a flat $75 ticket that gets you the meet and greet access, our recording, and the game all included. Tickets are available starting January 16th at 11 a.m. Eastern or 10 a.m. Central and are limited. But also don't forget that we're additionally heading to the Southwest for shows in Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Houston, and Dallas, all kicking off on March 7th through the 16th. Links to all of the shows will be available at supercarlinbrothers.com/events or in the show notes for every episode.
Lady Shark, do 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 do. Lady Shark, do 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 do. Lady Shark, do 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 do.
Bite your head!
Whoa.
Now you're dead.
Now you're dead.
Now you're dead. Da, 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 da. So now much blood. Da, 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 da. So much blood. Da, 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 da. Now there's more.
Whoa.
It got dark.
Okay, hey, we didn't expect it to go there.
Nope.
Hold on. Alice just texted me. What are you doing for the rest of the day? And it seems like a bad time to disappear for a whole hour.
Yeah.
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 We are about to pop. Everybody, hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Well, I made it back to the pop here, Benjamin.
Are you doing your best? But instead, Benoit Blanc.
Benoit Blanc. Yeah.
Because are you doing this because Wake Up Dead Man just came out?
Wake Up Dead Man just came out. We just watched it over the break, and I just love the Knives Out movies. They're so fun.
They really are. They're such a hootin' and hollering good time. And Daniel Craig being like this Southern investigator type man is something that has really like thrown its like hooks into our sense of humor.
Absolutely.
In such a big way.
Yeah. If you have not watched a lot of the Knives Out movies at our office, then you're going to get lost real fast. You know,
one of the things that like I feel like I really want to do, because we do it all the time, we will like enter this persona voice while we're all just like sitting around. And sometimes this is where I'm almost like, I wish we just had cameras rolling in the office at all times, because sometimes we're so, well, I think genuinely funny.
Guys, we're like so funny.
We are hilarious. No.
we crack a couple of jokes.
Yeah. But I mean, literally as we were walking in here, we were just having a conversation with Ethan and Isabel about how when we make the kind of jokes that we make here at the office elsewhere and people don't think they're funny, we're like, look, this would kill back at work.
It would have killed back at work.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we tend to do is like insert the Benoit Blanc voice into like different characters. And so like we were doing it with like Minerva McGonagall from the Harry Potter movies earlier, where it's like, well, I've always wanted to use that spell.
Why is it always you three?
And it works kind of well because...
Do you think of wise to trust Hagrid with something like that, Professor?
It's like, just go through, take the Harry Potter series, replace McGonagall with Benoit Blanc.
Right.
Change nothing else.
Nothing.
Right, right. There just happens to be a Southern detective who is actually a British actor on staff at Hogwarts.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I want to see, this is my, I would love it if when they're casting for season two of the HBO series, if for Lockhart, if they don't go with me, which I think they should.
Right.
if they cast Daniel Craig as Benoit Blanc as Gilderoy Lockhart.
That would be really good. Now,
it feels pretty obvious.
Hardly any of you remember that my favorite color is lilac.
It would be so good.
He could so do it.
Get Daniel Craig for Lockhart, please. Just make it ridiculous.
Now, this is just like magic.
Oh, say goodbye to your memories, boys.
Oh, man. I was trying to do the, like, together we steal the front page.
Together, you and I, we steal the front page, Harry. Harry. The day may come when you, like me, need to carry around a stack of photos with you wherever you go. But at this point in your career, it comes off a little big-headed.
It changes the tone of voice of Lockhart.
It does.
So much. Like, it sounds like verging on more reasonable.
Right.
Like, you know, like when you got Kenneth Branagh up there being like, well, hardly any of you remember my favorite color is lilac.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it just seems like so pretentious and self-important.
Right.
You know, whereas like when you do it in the Daniel Craig voice, it almost sounds more like he is also in on the fact that it's pure silliness.
Right. Yes, it does. Yeah, man.
Anybody who hasn't watched any of the Knives Out movies, though, is sort of like, what are we missing
just
with all this?
Please do it. Because if you don't know, Daniel Craig is the latest James Bond, which somehow might not be the character he's most well known for.
Eventually. Yes, with time. Yeah. We talk about this. There are certain instances where the selection of a specific actor for a specific role works because of how well you know them from other things.
Right.
So like in the TV series Mad Men, John Hamm plays like the ultimate, like cool, suave, debonair, like, you know, Don Draper, businessman or whatever. And he's like, it's hard to crack the code on like, you know, who, like, I mean, he's not the most admirable human being on the planet.
No.
You don't want to be like Don Draper necessarily, but like his swagger, the way that he dresses, the way that he like holds a drink, everything is cool
yeah.
by design. So then whenever John Hamm shows up like in other projects, it seems like they lean really heavy on the fact that you most likely know him from Mad Men.
Right.
So now if he shows up in like 30 Rock or something, he's just going to be like a total like goofball.
Right. He's a complete like doofus and other stuff.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's funnier because you know him as Don Draper.
The other example that we often talk about is another movie that you and I and the people in the office love is Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah.
Starring Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
As Harold Crick.
Harold Crick.
And it's like a Harold role Crick. Where he is like an auditor. Is that
yeah,
like
he's
he
an
does?
Auditor for the IRS.
And he's kind of like a like generic, boring, vanilla person.
Just guy.
Yeah. And he very like everything about like his life and routine and the way that he goes through everything is just heavily calculated and planned.
Right.
And
it's all
like,
set to his watch. And
right. But it's like a huge part of, I think, what makes it work is what your relationship with Will Ferrell is maybe outside the confines of the film and then seeing him be the character inside the film.
Right. Yes.
It's like, it ends up working because of the reputation you already know.
It's so funny that you brought up Will Ferrell and went for Stranger Than Fiction. Cause I was going to bring up Will Ferrell and compare it like Old School versus Elf, which came out in the same year.
That's also a really weird one because yeah, you've got like Old School Will Ferrell, which is like Frank the Tank. We're going streaking.
Right.
You know, and then you've got Elf like
Buddy the Elf. What's your favorite color?
Yeah. Exactly. It's like one of the, it's like you literally in the same year, you, like you and your child could have, like your favorite movie could be starring Will Ferrell and they're completely different movies.
What I'm hearing is that, Will Ferrell got range.
He's come, apparently.
You know, you might not think so, but
more than I feel like we originally gave him credit for.
Also definitely see Stranger Than Fiction. That's just like one of my favorite movies.
It's a really good one.
Yeah.
It's a good, there's a lot of like very, like I think it like really like touches like our sense of humor, funny bone in such a great way. Who is like the professor that is like always
Dustin Hoffman?
Dustin Hoffman. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, is always drinking coffee.
Right.
Like, in every single scene.
But he like switches coffee cups like four times in one conversation too.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yep. So like all the dialogue is just very witty and hilarious and fun and stuff. So yeah, if that's one you haven't seen, you're like, it's Friday, I need weekend plans, watch that one.
Right.
I don't think you'll be sad.
You won't be sad. There's no chance. That one's so good. One of my favorites.
Yes.
All time. Anyway, Ben, over this past weekend, my son, Luke William had his first basketball game of the year.
Oh man. And he is officially in the realm of rec league basketball.
Right. So we have graduated from like the Upward Church League. Now we're in like official rec sports.
Okay.
As it were. They're still not like keeping score, you know?
Okay. Well, I mean,
as it were, I was keeping score. I knew who was winning.
So, yeah. like underneath like the bleacher, Chase got like a little like pad.
I got
sort
my
of,
stats.
Like, okay.
I'm like, Gus is about to get a triple double. Y'all, this is unbelievable. Wow.
Come on, three. You call that a pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't be that dad.
Don't be that dad. I mean, I think it'd be funny to take the stats and stuff like that.
But, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's like one too, like where I've always thought it'd be really fun, like once Addison enters like rec league sports, to get like the really long like telephoto lens or whatever, so that like you could be on the sideline taking like professional grade photos of like, you know, have like a little like Facebook group for all the parents and
right,
sort of,
of
like
your team.
Of your team. Yeah.
Right.
This is like one of those, I'm so sorry to cut you off on your Luke story, because I know it's a great one, but this is the kind of thing where it's like, I am surprised that in the world of rec sports, there are not more overly, and I'm sure people out there are like, they're there, but like more overly enthusiastic parents who like go out and get like real jerseys for the kids or something, or,
right,
you know, like just really go hard on taking it like one step too far, but just all in the name of like good fun.
All in the name of good fun. I know. Yeah. So yeah, I agree. Like we'll have to you know, pioneer that forward.
I think, you know? So yeah,
like I mean why not be tailgating at your kid's soccer game, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Like, I mean, if you don't have like a grill out there and some
right.
some dogs,
right? No it's like I think what has sold me on it is that I played pickleball a few times, or just, you know, would take the kids to pickleball adjacent places, and you go and you're like, pickleball is, you know, it's the playing the game is great, but if you see the people out there on Saturday morning, that's like 50% of the experience. There's like people with tents, they're grilling, they're drinking. It like pickleball, it's a party is what's happening.
Right. Yeah. It's like,
right.
Pickleball feels like the sport where it really does seem like it's just basically elevated, and it's an activity that just about anybody can like technically do.
Right.
It reminds me a lot of like cornhole, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like cornhole is the kind of game where it's sort of like, if you go and throw the bag like 100 times, you're going to have it pretty dialed in.
Right.
Like you will go from like, how do you even play this game, to like, okay, I'm in.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's pretty much what it takes.
Yeah.
So
yeah, cornhole there.
Do that.
Good times. So anyway, where was I going with that?
Luke William played basketball. Luke William.
So yeah, this weekend, this was different from when we were kids, where I feel like we'd have like, we normally like for rec sports, you'd have like practice one night a week and then a game on the weekend or whatever.
Right.
Right. But his practice was on Saturday and then his game was on Sunday.
Oh, wow. Okay. I know.
So back to back days, both days of the weekend.
Yeah, that's a...
Which
that's
I feel like is kind of a big ask for the parents for rec sports.
It most certainly is. Yeah, yeah, that's a big one.
But whatever. It's fine.
I love how we went from like, let's go way too hard, to like 2 days in a row. Like, I mean, I don't know. You're kind of taking a
kind of lot. I say that. Yeah. Although when I was at the, so I brought Luke to his practice, and the team that was leaving, that was practicing before him, was leaving. And I know the coach on that team, and I was talking to him, and he was like, yeah, we got our first game tomorrow, and then I'm coaching my daughter's game in the afternoon. And I'm like, goodness me, Kevin, how many, you are in it, dude.
Yeah, apparently.
You got like, that's your whole, all right, good on you. Bravo. But anyway, so the quick story about Luke's practice is that it went, you know, totally fine, regular game of practice. But then at the very end, I was like just listening to the coach, like talk to them, like, you know, this is what we're going to do tomorrow. You know, let's get in here and do like a, you know, 1, 2, 3 team. But it was like, wait, do we have a team name yet? Have we named the team? And this I thought was so funny. So Luke and his buddy Gus are both there, and Gus is wearing a T-shirt for the Celtics, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And Luke, and he starts like going Celtics. And then Luke like turns and he's like, oh yeah. Cause you know, he knows that we, the family, root for the Celtics. And
right.
You know, he gets to stay up sometimes to watch. So Luke and Gus just start yelling like Celtics over and over. The coaches eventually just like, all right, cool, we can be the Celtics.
And so
then they do that. They go 1, 2, 3 Celtics. I was like, oh, and Luke was having, he was so, so proud of himself for, you know, naming the team.
That's pretty great.
I know. And then I'm like, the reason Luke is so into it is because I'm so into it, which is because we went to that game a couple years ago. And it's like that game, like tripped its way into this basketball court, you know.
That I mean, and that's a cool thing, because you know, when you're growing up, it's so like you're using your parents in such a great way as like a model for like your basis of interests.
Yeah.
And like what kind of like, what does our family do, what is our family culture, and you know, like,
right,
our little allegiances and stuff like that to teams and whatever. And it's amazing how powerful that is, and you're getting to kind of like step into that phase of life where you're getting to like really like see it happen, like unfold. Yeah. In real time.
Right So that was really cool to watch, and it just felt like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. So then we came home and Luke's so excited. It's like, we're the Celtics. And I guess despite the fact that their jerseys just say like Cave Spring on them, you know,
sure.
So it'd be easy to just call them the Knights, I guess.
Because that's the mascot for Cave Spring.
That's the mascot for Cave Spring.
But unless you're at the middle school, in which case you're the Squires.
The Squires, which is where, well, yeah. Yes. That's an interesting transition up, isn't it? Because I think if you're at Hidden Valley, don't you go from like Eagles to Titans or something?
I think something like
what
that.
What kind of graduation level is that?
It doesn't make any sense.
There's no continuity.
None whatsoever.
Hidden Valley. They can't get anything right.
Some rivalries never die.
If we can't poke fun at our rivals, what fun is even sports, you know?
Right, that's true. They are the enemies, and probably also just degenerates across the board.
Hidden Valley, what do they do, ranch over there?
I feel like growing up and like the other high school being called Hidden Valley in like Roanoke, where we lived and everything, it was sort of like, wow, yeah, it's the ranch school.
Yeah, the ranch school.
That's a ranch dressing joke. Yeah, not a very good one, you know.
But if you're here, you know of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Hidden Valley is a fine school, I suppose.
Yeah.
So they're named the Celtics. And so, you know, we call them, we're like, I guess we got to represent the team, you know, we'll show up tomorrow and have all of our gear on. Cause of course, everyone in my family has Celtics gear.
Sure.
So we show up at the game the next day. Well, not before I took Luke to go get some Gatorade after his practice.
Oh man.
Okay. I mean, the kids love Gatorade. They don't get to drink it very often, but I'm like, after sports, it's of course when you can drink Gatorade.
You found the moment.
Yeah, this is it.
The thing that I always remember about Gatorade growing up is that I actually hated the taste of Gatorade unless you had just participated in like a long run or a soccer practice or a game or something, and then it tastes amazing. And that's how I knew I like worked hard. Yeah, it's like when the Gatorade tastes good.
It hit right. But we go to Kroger to go get our sports drink.
Nice.
You know, and we get into the Gatorade aisle and Luke spots a different drink, which is Body Armor.
Okay.
Body Armor. Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's saltier, right?
I don't know. I haven't actually tried it.
Okay.
What I know about Body Armor is that it's the sports drink that Dude Perfect promotes.
Oh,
and let me tell you what Luke knew about it was that Dude Perfect drinks Body Armor. And okay. My goodness, is their marketing effective?
So he's like all in.
And he was so all in. He was like, and now we're facing like a whole wall of flavors. And he's just like, oh my gosh, this is basically the best day of my life. I get to drink some Body Armor.
All I can think now, though, is like, you know how like when you're sick, like somebody either may offer or you might be like, yeah, we're all stocked up on like DayQuil, NyQuil, tissues, Gatorade, ginger ale, like, you know, all the like the things that you want when you like don't like feel well. It'd be so interesting if like Luke went to college one day and he like messaged you guys and was like, you know, yeah, I've got a head cold. Like, I'm not to worry though. I'm drinking plenty of Body Armor.
Right. It's exactly like what it's going to be.
Body Armor.
I know. Like they got to aim at the kids here. That's what they're targeting their marketing.
It's true. But I mean, that's the kind of thing though, where it's like the shift from Gatorade being like the gold standard for like what you drink when ill, it going to something like Body Armor would be like Skype losing to Zoom.
Right.
It's like, you're like, how, like Skype can't lose.
Right.
They have become the term that people use. And then come the pandemic and everything became Zoom all at once. It's like half the time I forget what Skype was called.
I know.
It's like, you know, it's like, what was that other one? Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So, Skype always baffled me because I remember like in college I would, you know, you would chat with people on Instant Messenger, right? And if you were using like a Mac, you had iChat instead, which just also logged you into AIM or whatever.
Okay.
Right? But from there, you could just use iChat to FaceTime with people.
Right.
You could just do it right in the app. And yet, people would be like, let's Skype. And it would be like, we're already talking right here. You were using AIM. You were using iChat to tell me to open a different app to video chat you.
Right.
Like, I never understood it. And it'd be like, it's better. And it's like, how?
Like, what is it doing differently?
What is it doing differently? Right. Yeah. We're already, I can push a button. I don't have to open a website and sign up for it. I never got it, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's gone now. No one's using it.
I mean, the thing that I would say about this, though, is that like the number one thing that I do every single time I get a new computer, which is almost always a Mac, is download Google Chrome instead of ever using Safari.
Oh, yeah.
I am so not, I don't even know how to use Safari.
Right.
Like, I'm just a Chrome user. Yeah.
Chrome fanboy, Chrome girly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm going for.
Nice.
So anyway, we get to, Luke's super excited about the Body Armor. When he arrived home with his Body Armor, Nick and Nate were excited for him. They're just like, what? No, could we have some? Oh, it's like, best thing ever. So,
wow, okay. I guess I know what I'm getting them for Christmas.
I know, right? Just get them a case of Body Armor. They'll be, this is a drink, by the way, not like armor.
Not like armor. Yeah. 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 It'd be so funny if like Luke like stored it like under his bed or something.
He still has the bottle. Like, we tried to throw it away. It's like precious to him. He has filled it up now and he's doing like bottle flips with it, you know, like bottle flip trick shot things with it.
That is very funny.
Yeah.
You know what this like kind of reminds me of is like, do you remember when we were in like high school or middle school or whatever, you would do like the fundraisers where you would like go door to door and you'd sell like the gift wrap or holiday decorations,
right,
like boxes of chocolates and stuff. I feel like every time I did it, I was always allowed to pick out like one like candy box treat thing inside of there, you know, like nutcrackers that had peanut butter inside of them or something. And I remember I would get them and I would take them home. And this was me probably at like age 12. I would put them in my closet in my bedroom, like hidden, like underneath like a stack of things.
Wow.
Like, to the point where mom and dad still have, I mean, obviously they still have my closet, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
Part of me would like not be entirely shocked if you were to go in there and like lift some things up and find like an old empty
Like chocolate container.
Chocolate container. Possibly with like one or two left in there that I was saving for like a rainy day.
A rainy day. Really needed it.
And it's like, you never know. You never know. And I remember like I would come home like some days and I would like shut the door behind me, like lock it. And I would sort of be like, okay.
No one's coming.
I can
unseal the vault.
Right. Yes. Yes. And it felt like, you know, I think because I was getting it, like it was crappy chocolate. It wasn't good.
Right.
But I think because it came from this like very like exclusive, like pathway, I thought that it was amazing.
Right.
You know, so I was like, well, you really got to savor these.
You
know,
absolutely.
This is
you do.
A big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I was in my room. I had a drawer in my desk where I would just always dump all of my candy hauls from like Christmas or Easter or Halloween.
Oh, nice.
And it was always full of candy. Like I would always just like anytime I wanted, I could just always get something out of there. And that was great.
It was
like so comforting to me to know that I had this whole drawer of candy at any given moment.
Like my
I didn't eat a ton of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you were like such a like. You had to be the easiest child to parent.
Oh,
that is the only thing maybe. I could possibly imagine, because I feel like you got like good grades. You weren't like overly indulgent. You never wanted to like spend your money. Like, you know, you were just a good kid.
Well, I mean, okay. So you say I don't want to spend my money. So like sometimes the kids will get like, you know, money for their birthday or Christmas or something. And I'll be like, you know, oh, what if we, you know, or, you know, Luke would be like, oh, I can spend this at Disney or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Beth's like, and I, you know, I'm like, that sounds fine to me. You know, you got some money, go spend it.
Yeah.
And Beth's like, you don't spend birthday money. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, when you got money, when you were a kid, did you went and spent it? And I was like, yeah. Yes, I did.
Really?
Yes.
So Beth, like in Beth's mind, this is the kind of thing that's like, this is like important money that you should like save.
Right.
So like, you know, like you would get to 18 or go to college or whatever, and it's like, okay, good thing I saved, you know, the $500 from all my birthdays growing up, because now right. I have some money to take to school with me,
right? Or to, you know, yeah, pay for something, or a car or something, I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
So I was like, well, this is a difference of how things went. I mean, I would save some money most of the time anyway.
Sure.
But it wasn't like I was like, I can't spend money.
would you have like a go-to piece of financial advice?
Me?
Yes.
To kids or?
To anybody.
To anyone? I don't really, not, maybe I'm super probably not the person to ask.
I was just so curious because like the thing that you possess that I feel like so, that is so rare to be like encapsulated is like, I feel like you have people who are like heavily into like savings and like using money strategically and spreadsheets and budgeting. And there's something called like FIRE, which is like financial independence, retire early, which I think is like a whole, like there's a whole like subreddit to like how you can like live the FIRE lifestyle. So I feel like there's like those people out there in the world. And then there's like people like me, like when I would get like my birthday money, I'd be like, Mom, when can we go to Walmart? There's some Star Wars action figures. Call in my name.
Right.
Can't decide right now. Because each ship you could buy, like an X-Wing or a TIE Fighter or whatever, those were $20.
Right. They're a little bigger.
Right. So it was kind of like, do I get like three ships? That I'd be like 60, but then I could get like eight action figures as well, because they were $5 a piece.
Right.
You know, so it's like, you know, like how do you do this math? Or do you get like 20 action figures and no ships?
Right.
You know, or do I go all in on a $50 Millennium Falcon?
Right. Go real big
on like one of the fancy ones, the AT-AT. That one was $80.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, these were like the decisions.
These are the decisions. That money's just burning a hole in your pocket.
I mean, like in such a way that like, I can't believe it. But this is where like when I was growing up, I had a personal finance class in high school.
Yeah.
That was actually quite a good class.
Right.
Like I learned a lot about how compounding interest and stuff like that works.
Right.
Which is good to know.
Yeah.
That's like what you use for like retirement and stuff. And then I also went to, you know, college where then I, being a business major, meant I had to take like finance courses and stuff. And so they taught even more of those types of things. So anyway, my piece of, you know, financial advice would be, if literally nothing else that you're doing, you should open a Roth IRA.
Yeah. My financial advice would be, one, to hire someone to do your taxes, and two, to work with a financial advisor who can advise you on how to do these things if you don't know how to do it.
Yeah, because a lot of times getting it set up is like the hard part.
Getting it set up is a hard part. Just they'll like check in with you on that sort of stuff, and they're just going to know a lot more about it than you, and the way they're going to make money is if you make money.
So, that's true.
Like, yeah, they are extremely incentivized to help you do it.
Yes, yes. It, absolutely true. Absolutely accurate. So anyway, Luke's basketball game.
Luke's basketball game, what we're finally going to get to here.
Right.
Yes, the day comes. And we get there, you know, it's in the middle school, which was really cool. Found like a little bit bigger basketball court and stuff like that. Pretty it's full cool. court, which is new and stuff.
Hoops lowered.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have these like, it's not even that they lower the hoops. They have these like whole second apparatus. They like latch onto the existing hoop and it's like a whole new backboard that drops down.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I think I remember those from childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there's that. And they, you know, game starts playing, and it's pretty fun to watch because it's like way more basketball than it was like at the church.
Okay.
You know, like their teams, they feel like they know what they're doing. They can pass the ball. Kids are like hitting jump shots and stuff.
That's pretty awesome.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Size matters a lot, you know.
Well, you know, I could see that. Yeah.
It's a big guy sport and some of the kids are a lot bigger.
Yeah.
But Luke doesn't get into like the second or the first little like rotation, the first sub in or whatever.
Okay.
And he's going down and his buddy Gus is on his team and he passes Luke the ball and I wasn't sure what to expect because like last year when I was watching him, like if Luke got the ball, like they tried to like make sure like each kid got the ball and was allowed to like dribble it down the court to like start the new point or whatever.
Sure.
Like at least once. And that was like, you know, maybe that was when Luke could get the ball. Maybe he'd get a pass later on or something.
Sure.
But, you know, he gets the ball right here, takes a few dribbles, turns the basket, shoots, misses. But I was like, man, he was shooting from about the foul line or whatever. So it was a much bigger shot than I'd ever seen him take before.
Yeah.
Which was cool. But then the next trip down the court, pretty much the exact same thing happens. Gus has the ball, passes it to Luke, who takes a dribble, turns, shoots, and it goes in.
Yeah!
And I mean, I could not believe it. I was so proud of him. It was like he, wait, the amount of confidence that he has translated from like last year to this year in his like on court, I have the ball-ness,
yeah,
was unbelievable.
That is so cool. And honestly, I feel like we should just like pause for a second to like play the audio of the clip because you are adorable in it.
Oh, thank
so
you.
It's like, I, this is like one of those moments where it's like, it'll be so great for Luke to watch this when he's older.
Yeah.
To see how you felt watching him succeed.
Yeah, it was so cool. It was so cool. And I did get it all on video, which was even better.
Right.
So yeah, I was immediately texting that to everybody.
Yes, yes indeed. All right, so let's pause right here. I love it. It reminds me. I mean, I remember dad. We talked before about like the year in Carlin, something our dad did growing up. And there was like one video once upon a time where I like scored a goal in soccer and dad got it. And like one of the other dads on the sideline was like, "You got that, dad?" And he was like, "I got it." You know, and it's like, it's so fun how like everyone is aware of how important it is to the child to have made this shot. Like that can be such like a like boost of confidence,
right,
in life, you know, like to go and succeed in a sport.
Yeah.
And then also just like for the parents who get to see their kid do the thing, it's like the best thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great to see it out there. And like, you know, Gus was patting him on the back and stuff. And
yeah,
you know, you could just see his face and he was like, so like, oh my God, I did it. You know?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. So that was good. He took a few more shots. None of the rest of them went in, but it was like the fact that he was getting the ball, dribbling, shooting, you know, making an impact was all just very cool to watch. And it was like, oh my gosh, you're like growing up a little. Ah,
yeah.
It's pretty cool. Pretty, pretty fun. I'll also throw in a little funny story about Luke's friend, Gus, as well, who I would say is definitely one of the larger kids on the court, and was, I mean, the other team had no chance against him. Like they came down, any pass they threw, Gus was on the interception. He had it. He caused so many turnovers.
I mean, like you showed me the video, I'm sure, of the story that you're about to tell.
Yeah.
of Gus like playing point guard, which is the person who like bounces the ball down the court. I feel like I sound like such a rookie.
Right, yeah.
Let me explain how a point guard works.
Right.
But like He's like walking down the court, you know, dribbling with like such like an air of complete confidence.
Yes.
Like this is like someone who is like, I own this court right now.
I mean, he frankly did. He's definitely the biggest kid out there. And you know, it's like if you're like, you know, if he's coming at you, if he's like dribbling the ball at you, like I'd probably get out of the way too if I was your size, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, it's the Gus is a big fan of Steph Curry, who, as you guys know, is a big three, or you may not know, is a big 3-point shooter. That's like his specialty. He's like one of the most unbelievable 3-point shooters in the history of the NBA.
Does he play the point guard?
I think.
It was a little callback to my joke from before.
Right.
Look at me knowing basketball
terms. Look at you doing things.
Dad's like, he's like burying his face in his hands listening to the talk right now. He's like, you are not my basketball son.
So anyway, Gus is coming down. There's like 20 seconds left in the game or so, and I can tell Gus keeps like checking the clock, and I'm like, I know what he's doing. He wants to try and shoot like a buzzer beater.
Okay.
Like shoot it at the buzzer or whatever. And he comes down, and I guess he like is just dribbling, waiting the clock out, and the lane opens for him, and he like charges the lane and tries to instead make a layup. Doesn't go in, but he gets his own rebound right at the 3-point line, looks at the clock, there's 1 second, he shoots as the buzzer goes, and it goes in. And I was like, oh my God, Gus, that was amazing!
It was pretty incredible.
I got that on video too, so.
It is 15 seconds left. Gus is running the clock down so he can take a buzzer beater. Exactly what's happening. Let it go! Shoot, 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 shoot!
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, every once in a while, I feel like ESPN Top 10 will do something that like comes from high school or younger kids sports and stuff. And it's just because something cool and remarkable happened and parents are always running their cameras. So it's like, you know, sometimes you get those things on camera. And to me watching it, I was like, that could be an ESPN Top 10.
We should submit it. You know?
I was like, that was really cool, you know, because he's clearly walking down the court, like, running the clock out. He's just sort of like bouncing the ball, like walking back and forth, like almost pacing with it.
Right.
And nobody's really charging him either, trying to like defend him.
They're sort of like, yeah, the game's over. We got it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty adorable, pretty amazing to see. But I mean, really just like, you know, these young kids sort of like slowly morphing into being capable of like doing things.
Yeah, like doing sports.
Yeah. It's like, wow, you guys are like
actually doing it.
It will not be long before, you know, they will be like proper competitive.
Right. Exactly. I know. Yeah. Like right now, there's still a lot of forgiveness for like double dribbling and stuff. And unless you're taking like 10 steps traveling, they're not going to like blow you down or anything.
Right.
And then, you know, the coaches are still on the court, kind of walking with the kids, like, go stand over there. Or, you know, watch that guy, get your hands up, you know, all that. But it was a lot more than than last year at like the upward basketball.
Okay.
It was fun. It was fun. It made me feel like going to all these games is just going to be something I'm just looking forward to all the time.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There's like a small part of me because like I've always been so curious. Like we've had like our cousins and stuff. Like, cause when we were growing up and we lived in Rocky Mount, Virginia, it was like a part of the state that didn't have access to like travel sports, at least when we were kids, to the best of my knowledge.
I think the Roanoke Stars were there, which is a soccer team.
Yes, but that would have been in Roanoke, like rather than like where we were. So we were definitely not trekking up to Roanoke to like go and participate in that version of travel sports. I guess some kids were. But you know, we had cousins and stuff who were like, you know, played like AAU basketball, or you know, like just friends growing up who were all into like the travel soccer scene and stuff like that. And I'm so curious to see what it would be like if you or I ends up like in that circuit.
Oh, I know. It's like this weekend we're heading over wherever. We got another tournament. Sorry, that was a big yawn in the middle of my sentence.
That's all good. Yeah, heading over to wherever.
Yeah, going to Nashville this weekend. You know, Luke's got like 3 games. You know, we'll see how he does.
Yep. But it seems like it'd be a cool. I mean, it's almost like touring, where it's like it gives you a reason to like go to these cities.
Exactly.
And, like, kind of like, you know, and then while you're there, you have the amenities of the city. You can go and do like a children's museum or a fun restaurant or whatever.
Yeah, sounds like it could be a lot of fun. Or I imagine there's times where it's like, you know, I doubt every single parent is going to every single tournament.
True.
You know, or it's like, yeah, Luke's out this weekend. He's with the team, you know.
With the team, yeah. We put him on the bus.
Put him on the bus. See you later, dude.
Oh my gosh. That reminds me of, I think you were there for this, but the first state meet that I competed in for cross country, we brought an Xbox up with us.
Oh yeah, we did.
When we were gonna like play Xbox in the hotel room.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like this.
Well,
like,
we did, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but then we overslept the next morning. It's like the whole bus is like full.
Yeah.
And we were like asleep in our hotel
rooms. Which is so, like I never oversleep.
Oh, I know. It's, I mean, yeah, you especially. Like, yeah. Probably on some level, I was like, I'm good. I got Jay. Like, he'll make sure I'm there on time.
Yeah.
It was, that was a very embarrassing moment to like hear coach pounding on the door, being like, get up.
Well, it wasn't even the coaches.
Oh, who was it?
It was John and Mike.
Oh, was it really?
Yes.
Yes. Okay,
So, because they come thundering into the room and they're like, guys, we got to get up. Everyone's on the bus. And my immediate response to John pulling anything like this is, you're just lying.
Right.
Like, this is the prank. The prank is to come wake us up and freak us out.
Right.
Right. It's a very John move.
Right.
And like, but it's not, you know, this was actually a real situation. So he's like trying to convince us that this is real. And I'm still not like being urgent about it at all.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm sure we had to like pack all of our stuff.
Oh, that
too.
Was the thing. We had to pack it all up, including the Xbox, which is entirely attached and installed to the TV and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Which then looks even worse when you're coming down. It's like, sorry, we're late. It took us a second to pack up the Xbox, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like something clearly the coaches didn't want you to bring.
No, certainly not. The whole idea. Cause to you, the 15-year-old who's, you know, like at the hotel or whatever, you're like, whoa, freedom, this is so cool,
right?
Like,
yeah,
you get to play video games. And of course the coach is like, go to bed by like 8, we have the most important meet of the entire season tomorrow. Like,
we'll see about that, coach. We're playing a next round of Slayer here. We're playing a 99, so might be a while.
that's it. Yeah. But like, this was such a thing with our cross-country team growing up, was the lengths that seemed so acceptable that like in my mind now would never seem acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we would do summer runs. So this was like the other thing too, is I feel like at a very young age, we started like doing like swim team. And that meant that like you got to the end of school, it was like the first, you know, day of summer, like the first like Monday that you were like didn't have school or whatever, and you were up at 7:30 in the morning to go swim in a quite chilly swimming pool.
Right.
And it was
sun hadn't quite got over the trees yet.
That's right. Yep. So it was like, you know, it's like I feel like there were days where like getting like mom's minivan and the little like thermostat and like the center console would say like, you know, 64 degrees. You're like, it's 64 degrees and we're going to swim practice outside.
That's right.
I was like, that doesn't sound very fun at all. But we did it. You know,
we did it,
you know. And then as we got older, it was sort of like, okay, like no more swim team. Now we're doing cross country, which means we have summer runs starting the first Monday of summer break.
Yeah.
And this
was always summered, right? You know,
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I'm like, you know, like you have these like 18 years of your life where the summer is supposed to be this like sacred window of time to do like whatever you want.
Whatever you want, man.
And it seemed like we, you know, got them all.
What did we do? Run and swim and stuff?
I know. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
No, it was actually pretty great. I feel like it was good for us.
But it was. I mean, I'm still swimming now, so whatever.
Right. Yeah. But the thing about the summer runs was that they were this bizarre blend. They couldn't be required to be mandatory. So like there was kind of this like big culture of the team thing where it was like, you do the summer runs, you don't skip the summer runs, you need to go and be there. Technically nobody can require you to be there, but you should be there.
You should be there,
especially if you have any intention of being on like the varsity squad.
But like, to that end though, if you didn't go and you were fast enough, there's no way you wouldn't have been.
That's true. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. There's no way in the world that you could run varsity times and not be on the varsity squad.
Right.
Which I think probably happened somewhere in the mix of the whole thing. But the thing that I would remember happening would be that like, if there was ever like a day where like I stayed up later and went to like a movie premiere the night before, like, you know, just something, and I was like deciding to like not go to the morning run, there was more than one occasion where I was awoken to the entire men's cross country team in my bedroom,
yeah,
like screaming at me,
right?
You know, pounding on my bed, or you know, like whatever. And it's like, I am literally fully asleep in bed and my whole team is in my room.
Is in my room. Yeah.
It's like, this is so weird.
Right.
But sure enough, then you would like get up, put your shoes on, and like run out the door.
Run out the door.
You know, and that was that was that. But yeah, it was just pure ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah. That was the culture. Don't miss the practice. And never sleep in the summer ever, I guess.
Never, ever. Yeah, no.
Yeah, you want to watch the Tour de France? Too bad.
You know? You can come home and watch it after
the rerun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. That's your morning.
Transition?
Transition! Ba-ding, ba-ding.
Okay, Jay, you may notice that I am wearing kind of a fun shirt today.
I have noticed it. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's very bright.
It's very eye-catching.
It is.
Right? Right? So this is kind of a fun thing. Today, officially, tickets are going on sale for a collaboration that we are doing with the Rocket City Trash Pandas Minor League Baseball Team.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I am so stoked about what this is.
Yeah.
We've been doing our podcast touring through the Gryffindor. We've been going all over the country. We've done the Northeast and Southeast, and we're doing the Southwest, and we've done the Midwest and the West Coast. And, you know, how many shows have we done? Like 28 different shows
a
now?
A lot of shows.
We bounced all over the country, and we got reached out to by the Trash Pandas, which is like famously one of the most like beloved minor league baseball teams in the United States, because
right.
They rebranded into the Trash Pandas somewhere along the way. And it's this like fun Rocket City, because this is like, you know, there's like a NASA station in Madison, Alabama, or Huntsville, Alabama, like where they're set up as.
Right.
And they do a Harry Potter night once a year. It's like one of their like themed, you know, game nights,
yeah,
for their home game.
And apparently it's like their most popular theme night.
It is their most popular game. Like, this is like the most successful thing. It was so successful last year that they ended up doing, now this year they're doing two nights of it. But on the first night, on Saturday, May 23rd, Jay and I are going to be going down with the rest of the team, and we are going to be doing a live episode of Through the Gryffindor.
Yes, we are.
So if you've seen any of our live shows before, then it's like we are doing a Through the Griffin tour show, complete
right.
with Jay versus Ben, meet and greet, the whole nine yards.
All that.
Yep. Tickets are $75, but that gets you access to the Through the Gryffindor performance.
Right.
There is like a buffet meal included in that, access to the game, and like whatever swag that is included, you know, that night.
Yeah.
for the event. So
yes.
It's going to be like some kind of Trash Pandas melded together with Harry Potter themed something.
That's right.
You know, so that'll be really cool. So there are only 150 tickets total.
Yeah.
So act fast. Yeah. So if you're interested in going, we're going to be there. I think like the families are coming down. Like, it's just going to be
like
a
fun. It's going to be like a whole party. I cannot wait for this. I love going to baseball games. I don't watch baseball almost ever, but I love going to baseball games.
Oh, same. And I don't know absolutely, but when I asked them, when we first had like the introduction phone call, I was like, is there any way we could like throw the first pitch?
And
they were like, we could talk about it. And
I was like, oh man, dude, that'd be so cool. I so hope we get to.
I know. So this is just like one of those situations where it's like, it's an off the wall collaboration. I don't think we can call it like a full blown tour, because it's just one day. You know, but we're going to be down there. It's going to be so much fun. It is Memorial Day weekend, so some people already have, you know, that like long weekend situation
right.
going on, if you need to do some traveling to come out
right.
and be there. But we'll have the link in, you know, the show notes, the description of the video, wherever you're watching. So be sure to check it out. We would love to come and see you. That's going to be, again, the Rocket City Trash Pandas on May 23rd. We'll see you there.
Yes. Cannot wait to see you there. It's going to be so fun. Yay, sports.
Okay, Jay, I need to tell you about a cool, but potentially cool,
okay,
new anxiety coping mechanism, mindfulness thing that I discovered the other day.
Okay.
And I was sitting at my house, like Alice had gone to bed early, and I was just sort of like watching a movie and sort of like, you know, looking up things on my phone, doing as I do.
Right.
The common how to deal with anxiety.
Right. Yeah.
You know, usually it's like, I feel like it hits me at night a lot of times.
It hits the anxiety.
Anxiety. Yeah. You know how like sometimes when you get like a, like, when you get like a head cold or whatever, you drink your body armor, obviously.
Right. Yeah. You know, you go down to the store, pick out your favorite Flav.
Right. But I feel like a lot of times when you have like a head cold, it's like you can get through the day, I feel like, reasonably well. And then like by the time you get to like night, it's like you start to feel real bad.
Right.
Like that's when it like starts to hit, like hit you square in the
teeth.
Oh,
there's those days where you're like, am I not feeling so good? And it turns out you were holding it together really hard for work. But once your body's like, oh, we're home. Time to take.
Yes. Time to just like disintegrate into a puddle of.
Right. Goop.
Goop. Yeah. Human goop.
Human goop.
That's right. Probably it. So anyway, no, I was just poking around and I found something called the 333 rule. And this is like just like a way to like almost like pause your brain to like take a moment and just sort of like. I don't know if it's like a way to distract yourself from the present or to like focus on the present or like why it works or what's happening. But I did it and I was like, whoa, I was like, I can't believe how well that worked. Like it was almost like I got like hit with like a wave of like hand tinglies.
Oh, interesting.
I know. And then I told Alice to try it this morning. She was like, whoa. And I was like, right. You know? So anyway, here's what you're supposed to do. The 333 rule is you are supposed to stop, pause, list three sounds that you can hear. So like you would like sit quietly and like listen and be like, okay, I can hear like birds chirping. I can hear the air conditioning running and I can hear my Roomba vacuuming or something like that. So you've like identified three sounds and then you find three objects in the room. And like for me, like when I'm doing it, I'm like almost looking for three objects that like feel like three special objects that like I can see, you know? So like,
right.
It's like, okay, there is a spare camera lens, you know, sitting right there. There's like my clear, cool subwoofer situation and our EV skateboard, you know, or three things I can see in the room around me. So it's like, I try to find like three special things instead of just like three, just objects. So you find three things and then identify three moving limbs in the room. And so like as I'm like sitting on my couch last night, I was sort of like sitting there like tapping my foot. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna count that. I look over, my dog Indy was laying in front of the fire and she was like having a dream. So she was sort of doing that like, you know, jolty, vibratey type of whatever. So I counted that. And then I was in the room by myself and it was just, you know, me and Indy. So then I just literally held up my hand and just bent my finger.
Right. And I'll make it happen.
I was like, yeah, make the thing. So you need to do, there's three things and you need to find three examples of each of them. So three sounds, three objects, three moving limbs. And I did the practice like in this moment where I was like feeling anxious because I was looking for, you know, a result, like a way to solve anxiety that I was feeling in that moment. And I was like, whoa, like it worked. I was like, I feel like a little bit better.
That's awesome.
I know. And it's funny because like, I think my whole life I've always been like a deep breather.
Yeah.
So like when I'm like really nervous about something or overwhelmed, I will be like,
right.
You know, it's like, and that sometimes is like what I'm supposed to do. And I'm sure all I'm really doing there is just like taking a moment, you know, just to breathe.
Yep.
So anyway, I was like, I feel like I just need to share it with the world because I wonder if it would work.
Yeah.
For other people too.
So. I've heard of stuff like this before where it's like, four things you can see, three things you can hear, two things you can smell, one thing you can touch or something.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that also sounds like a neat way to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, people out there need to, or even you, you know.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Give it a whirl.
Yeah. There are definitely days, like even yesterday, like I got home and Beth was like, what's wrong? Your face looks like it's something, like are you mad? Are you sad? And I'm just like, I don't know. I do know what you mean. I can feel it in my face, but I don't even know. I don't even know the problem. Like why feeling way just is don't know nothing you just me.
I like this fragmented conversation. Let me communicate all the important bits.
Right.
Yes, I agree. No, it's not you. I'm not sure what's wrong. I do feel it.
Yes. You're not wrong.
Right. That's such an interesting one. It's like the importance of validating the person who believes something is wrong.
Right.
You know?
Right. I agree with that. Yes, because I can feel it sometimes when like Beth will notice it about me and I'm just like, I know what you're talking about. I know it's there. I can't put a name to it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a thing or not, but I feel like for me, oftentimes I will have a harder time saying what's wrong without like prompting. And so, you know, it's like it would be like asking somebody like, is everything okay? You know, are you all right? You doing okay? Like, it's almost like them asking the question allows you to be like, you know, I am a little stressed about something, versus like if you're just sitting in a quiet room being like, guys, I'm stressed. Like, it feels like so disjointed and out of place.
Right.
Like, it's almost like an inappropriate thing to just like announce to an empty room.
Right.
But if somebody is like asked the question, they have granted you permission to share what you're feeling. And so I think for me, it's almost like this thing where I'm like, you really can't ask people if they're doing okay too much. You know, like I feel like a lot of times I'm sort of like, it's like holding the door for somebody. It's like, you need me hold the door for you? You doing all right? You okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, talk about it? We can do that. You know?
This is what I have found has been helpful too, is like sometimes I will be sitting there and Beth can tell I'm like lost in some sort of thought or whatever, or like I'm having like a conversation in my head or whatever.
Right.
And she'll be like, just say it out loud.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I'll just be like, well, just, blah, and then I'll say it. And it's like, but like, it'll be something that I was obviously too like guarded about, or something that I just wasn't or still working through. And she's like, it doesn't even matter if you're still working through it, just say it out loud, you know?
Right. Right.
And that, and then, but I find that I can sometimes use this with the kids as well. Not always for like anxiety necessary purposes, but a lot of times it will just sort of cut through the what's the word I'm looking for? Cut through the cheese of the situation.
Cut the cheese?
It cuts the just straight out there.
Nice.
No, but like sometimes like it'll be, you know, before dinner or something, and Nick and like they'll come out and be like, I'm hungry, and I'll be like, you know, oh, or we're having dinner, you know, as if dinner will solve your problem.
Right.
But like what they really mean is I want to eat a very specific thing.
Okay.
Right. And they are like really hoping that just by telling me they're hungry, I'll be like, well, what if I made you a corn dog, you know? Or like, you know what would be good right now? Maybe some Twizzlers, you know? Right. Right.
Right.
Like they don't want to say what it is, because they know it's something. They already know it's something I'm going to say no to.
Right, right.
So instead they're sort of now dancing around it, like, you know, it's like, oh, you want, okay, you, I think we can have some like yogurt shakes, or you can go get a cheese or something, and it'll be like, I don't want that. And it's like, okay, because you said you were hungry and those would be good and you like those things.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, you, what you want is like the pirate booty. You want the chips. You want the whatever else it is.
The snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, mm-mm.
I know. Yeah. I've been having this with Addison lately, where she's like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, you know, and she'll be like, I'm like, what do you want? And she's like, well, what do we have? And it's like, I think it's the exact same thing where it's like, she's like, why don't you suggest it? Because if I say I want gummies, you're probably going to say no.
Right.
But maybe if I'm just, but like, I'm hungry.
I say no to everything and force you to say gummies, you said it on me.
You said it on me. Exactly. Anyway. No, I don't want a banana. No, I don't want an apple. No, I don't want a cucumber. What I want is gummies.
Right. She's not hungry. She just wants gummies.
She just wants gummies.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it is. So someone had to be like, just say what you want. Just what is it? You know,
cut straight to the chase.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
not the cheese, the chase. Okay. There it was.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So this is interesting too, because like I would say that like I'm a pretty sensitive person. Like in fact, to the point where there's like, I don't even know if this is like a real thing or if it's ever been like clinically diagnosed, but there is at least a term that exists somewhere on the internet that would refer to an HSP, a highly sensitive person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not considered like any type of like affliction or anything like that. That's probably the wrong word, a diagnosis. Because I think like 25% of people would be considered HSPs.
Okay.
Highly sensitive people or whatever. And so it's like, I know that in certain aspects of my life, I can get hit really hard by like negative feedback or commentary, or like, you know, we publish stuff to the internet for a living. You are subjecting your thoughts to the, you know, entire belief systems and whatever else, moral compass of the people of the interweb. And so it's like, you can do your best to be somebody that can like make all people happy. But like inevitably I could say, you know, like a color or whatever is the best color, and a percentage of people will be like, yeah, he's absolutely right. And then the other people who like all the other colors of the rainbow will be like, no, you're absolutely wrong. You know, and it's like, you can't always say something that's going to please everyone.
Right.
And so it's like, I think what's tricky about negative feedback on the internet is that, like, if you were to hear every piece of negative feedback that anybody ever said about you and always like, take that advice and make the change so that it would satisfy the person, you would self-destruct.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you would be pulled. It would be like, green's the best color. No, blue's the best color. How can green and blue both be the best color?
Right.
Somehow I need to hold both of these truths at the same time without offending team blue or team green, you know?
Right.
Like it's so hard. And so I think a lot of times, like, you know, through like a negative comment or whatever, that can be really difficult to cope with because I can't change for the person. I can't. It's like, even if a part of me wants to, like, I can see your feedback, but if I say team blue, I'm turning my back on team green. And if I say team green, likewise, I'm turning my back on team blue. I can't make both of you happy at once.
Right.
Therefore, I'm team nothing, you know?
Right.
And if enough time goes on, you would probably have to become team nothing on everything.
Right.
Because there are two sides to every coin, and there's probably somebody out there who's always going to have an opposing opinion about something you said.
Right.
However, cutting to the chase, I feel like when I'm like in conversations like with you or Alice or mom and dad or people who are close to me in my life, if they've got feedback for me, sometimes I'm almost like, make it hurt. What do I need?
Make it hurt.
It's like, give me the feedback that I need to hear to be a better person.
Right.
You know, and it's sort of like that. So I think that's like my version of like cut to the chase. It's almost like, don't dance around it. You know, you don't need to sugarcoat it. What am I doing wrong?
What am I doing wrong?
Because I can fix it for you.
Right, right.
You know,
you're someone I care about fixing it for. Right?
Exactly. Well, yeah. And it's not even that I'm care about the commenters. Yeah. It's just you couldn't. Like,
you can't. Yeah.
Because there's it's like, you will end up going down conflicting pathways.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at some point you just have to, like, you know, I guess, like, you know what you stand for, and
yeah,
it's just sort of that.
Well, I know, but that's so tricky.
That is tricky. Yeah.
Feels like that's an ever shifting landscape of
it
things,
is. It know? Is. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too for me is like, I would have almost thought I knew what I stood for up until like age like 21.
Right.
And then almost everything about what I thought I stood for got flipped on its head. And it was like, oh, I'm not really that person anymore. And now what do? Do I regret being that other person? Or
that's
am I just kind of glad that it got me here?
No, I don't think you have to like regret being that other person. It's just like, you can recognize your own growth and you don't have to be like ashamed of that sort of thing. Because I think the greater like the evil out there, or the greater like problem, is the like insane tribalism that can exist on the internet.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're right. You're like, oh, I can't say green because then blue. But if I can't say blue because then green.
Right.
You know, right. It's like, you're afraid you're going to offend the other people. And like, really, in a best case scenario, you like, people are just like, have common, you know, respect or whatever.
Right.
And it's just sort of like, I understand that you prefer blue to green for these reasons. I still prefer green, but like, that's okay. Like, you know, and that is the more like, that is how it like really should be. Like, you should be able to like respect people's differing opinions rather than hating them over those sort of things. But because people tend to fight and get crazy, and, you know, I mean, you've seen a million comment arguments that are just going nowhere fast.
Yes.
Out on the social medias or whatever. But like, those are, I think part of what makes them so unproductive is that people are so not, they're like, one, people are afraid to ever admit that they were wrong, but not like, and, but mostly I think because they are afraid that it will crack their entire identity, and that it'll be like, it's not like, because it's not a matter of like being told you're wrong, right? Like, if someone disagrees with you on the internet, and you can kind of like even see, like, you see it all the time. It'll be like, that was a bad thing. And this person will be like, nuh-uh, like, I have excuses for that thing. This isn't a bad thing. And it'll be like, it's right there. It's a bad thing. That puppy got shot in the face, you know?
Whoa.
Whatever it is.
This does seem like a bad thing.
Yeah, you're right. And you're like, it's right there. Why on earth are you, like, what are you talking about? And they're like, but I just, was it? Because I feel like I've sort of been on the side of this other thing, and now I can't walk away from that because everyone's going to think they'll be like, yeah, it'll mean I was wrong for so long. Like, they fear their own hypocrisy, I think.
Yeah.
And that is so hard to overcome, and especially when it feels like the other side is just yelling at you.
Right.
You know? And I think the thing is, what you have to know is that the other people want to, like, you can be forgiven for having been on the quote unquote wrong side, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that is okay. It is okay to admit that you have been wrong about a belief or to change your mind at all. And like, it won't mean that you're betraying your past self. It won't mean that you're like a bad person, that you were stupid. It meant you were working with the information that you had, and now you have new information. And if people are going to continue to scream at you, even though you are now agreeing with them, then that speaks about them. But more often than not, people like want to forgive you for those things. And that has to be like the disagreement is with arms wide open, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree with where you're coming from, because like this is almost like where, you know, you can get frustrated when people go through and like scrape, like I think there was like a, just to use an example, I think like when Travis Kelce started dating Taylor Swift, people started going through and like scraping like his old tweets and stuff like that to try to find like somewhere in his past where he had like said something that might be like considered uncouth or inappropriate or, you know, whatever, because it's, you're dealing with one of the most high profile relationships just like on the planet, you know, hard stuff,
right?
Like in terms of the public eye,
right? Yeah.
And that type of thing. And it's like one of those things where I think that really we could probably all agree that we were
right, didn't we say like that we did the whole checks, the reds? We might have gone dark, guys. It appears we may have had a technical difficulty and filled up a memory card or something. I'm not sure if we're still filming or not. We might be on just the logo at this point if you're watching on YouTube.
Yes indeed. Anyway, but so you're dealing with such a ridiculously high profile, you know, set of people basically inside of this relationship. So it's like, oh, have they ever said anything that like might be considered like bad? And it's like, at the end of the day, I think, you know, like growth is like the biggest thing. Like if you're going to stay mad at people for who they were in all past iterations of themselves, then what's the point of being mad at them at all? Because if you're mad at them, it's because you want them to have a different opinion. But if they change that opinion and you're going to hold them accountable for the opinion that they held before that, then it's almost like, well, then what were you asking for in the first place?
In that case, all you wanted to do was be right.
All you wanted to do was be right. And right. And this is where like sometimes I even think that like, and this is, we're really talking about like the absolute extreme ends of spectrums here. But I tend to believe that like the extreme ends of spectrums, instead of it being like a big long line with like dashes on either side of it being like, this is all the way blue and this is all the way green, it's more like a circle. And it's almost like the extremes live really close to each other, and given a slightly different life circumstance, this person on, you know, this extreme green might just be an extreme blue if they just happen to have had a slightly different set of life experiences.
Right.
They were always
just extreme people.
They were always going to be extreme about their opinions and values and thoughts and everything. And it just depends on which side, what they were more exposed to. And it's almost like, but the rest of it is sort of like more like a, like an aspect of like their personality.
Right.
I think.
Right.
You know,
I know what you mean.
So it's like, that's like the, even like the thin line between like love and hate. Like I tend to think that it's like, you're so extreme blue that you don't realize that like the minorest change would make you an extreme green.
Right. Right. Like you're so close. You're right there.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like it sounds like we're using not so clever code for politics. I'm not specifically referring to politics for what it's worth.
Right.
But like, I suspect like any NFL sports team, any pro sports team of any kind probably has a hardcore dedicated group of fans that ends up on the Jumbotron at every single home game because they paint themselves gold or blue or whatever, you know, they show up wearing like a Grinch costume. There's a thing that they do and the team knows it. The stadium knows it. You expect to see them week in, week out.
Right.
They got front row seats somehow, you know, they travel to all the away games. Like they've got a giant like championship belt that they carry.
Right.
So they bleed, you know, we'll use our team. They bleed the Commanders' colors, you know, but I tend to believe that if that person grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, then they'd be rocking a cheese head and they'd
no doubt
they'd be front row at Lambeau Field.
Right. And, yeah. You know, they're that like, close to just being they were always going to be a crazy extreme NFL fan.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And it happens to be the case that the one that they grew up with or the one whose team their dad liked or mom liked or whatever, you know, it's like the one that they migrated to wherever they found themselves feeling at home.
Right.
You know, but the near one is oftentimes the one you have. And therefore, it's the default answer to the question.
Right.
You know, I'm sure that there are people somewhere in the world that were born in Houston, Texas, that moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin, specifically to be a diehard Packers fan.
Oh, for sure.
You know, but I bet also a lot of the diehard Packers fans grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Right.
And then it's sort of like, are you a diehard Packers fan or would you have always been a diehard sports fan?
Right, 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 right. I mean, I feel like if, you know... Like if we moved to, I don't know,
Seattle.
Yes, I could easily just be a Seahawks fan.
Right.
You know.
Yes.
But like, would I always be like also being like, how the Commanders doing?
Yeah. Keep a weather eye on it.
Keep a weather eye out there.
It's like, you know, I live here now. You know. Right. Of course, I'm going to go to the, like, that's the other thing too, is I just love going to professional sports games so much.
Right.
Like it. I mean, I literally don't have to know any of the players on either of the teams at all to enjoy my beer, my fries, my chicken tenders, and the environment.
Right.
The loud noises, the
right.
celebrations, the camaraderie, the songs, you know, it's all just fun.
Right.
Just to be there.
Exactly.
So if I had one close to me, you better believe I'd go all the time.
I'd go all the time.
Yeah.
I know. But like on the same note, like if you were, you know, I say, you know, Seattle's a great example because it's like I have no skin in the game with Seattle. But if it was like, if we moved to like Dallas or something,
right.
then it would be like, this is a much harder pill to swallow.
That would be tricky.
And, you know, it'd be that like, be can tricky. I have rooted against the Cowboys for literally my entire life.
Jay,
could I just be like, yeah, but you know, like if I moved there and someone was like, you know what? Hey, as part of this company you work for now, you get season tickets. It's fantastic. You know,
you'd be a Cowboy fan.
Right. It'd be like, well, maybe it's just time, you know? Like,
I think what would end up happening is you'd go begrudgingly like the first few times and then eventually you would get to know.
You'd get to know the culture.
Because
they're not bad people.
That's it.
Right.
That's exactly it.
They're not bad people.
And I say it all the time. Like when I was growing up, we were Virginia Tech fans, which meant that our in-state rival, the University of Virginia, which is otherwise a phenomenal school that great people go to and come out of and all that type of stuff. Like, but like when I was a child, I believed that that who they were was like unethical. Like
that
they were actively bad people.
Why does anyone root for them?
Right. And of course
they're bad people.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. And it's like, of course we don't like them. They're bad people. And then like the older I got, I was like, no, these are kids. They're like, and of course for the longest time when you're a literal child, collegiate athletes seem like full-blown adults to you.
Right.
Then when you're 35 and you're looking at the 19-year-old who's starting for,
they seem like kids. Yeah.
You know, it's like the perspective has changed a bit and it's like they're just, this is the best opportunity that life afforded them and it was the right path for them to go down and they happen to throw on a blue jersey instead of a maroon one and that doesn't make them a bad human being.
Right.
But also then challenge me to become a University of Virginia fan instead of a Virginia Tech fan and I can't do it.
Like, right.
I can't.
It's hard.
I can't change the needle.
I know. Like,
it faces this way.
Right. It's difficult when it comes to sports, but it's like, I say that, but then it's also like, you know, if any of my kids wanted to go to UVA, I would be like, and they got in and went there, I would be so proud of them.
Of course. You would own merch.
Right. I would have the merch. I'd have to do it, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It's like if one of our kids ends up at Hidden Valley. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh. Ugh.
Maybe I'd just like bring a bottle of ranch dressing to every game to be self-aware.
Right. You got to lean into it. You got to take back the ranch.
You got to take back the ranch.
We sell ranch dogs at the snack shack.
That's
you know?
It. That's it. That's it. Yep. Yep. We're sponsored by Hidden Valley Ranch.
That's right.
Dressing.
Everything you buy at the concession stand comes with a side of ranch. Everything.
Wouldn't it be so silly if the jerseys were like kind of like an off-white color with like little like black speckles all over it? Oh my gosh.
That'd be hilarious.
It would probably actually look kind of cool, but it would be like, are there jerseys?
Are they ranch jerseys?
Are they ranch dressing?
Are they ranch dressing?
They are. Thank you for noticing.
They are. Yeah, yes, it's ranch night here, right, here at Hidden Valley.
I dug into my, you know, my Roth IRA to pull some funds out so I could sponsor the team proper. See, I brought it full circle again.
Yeah, there you go. Nice financial advice there.
Thank you. Yeah, it's all working out nicely. Anyway, guys, I think that's going to bring us to the end of this week's episode. Don't forget that we're going to be at the Rocket City Trash Pandas, where you too could go watch Through the Gryffindor live performance, hang out, meet us, take photos, get signatures, all of those types of things, if that's the kind of thing that you may be into. And you get access to the game, which is going to be Harry Potter night, which is going to just be, you know, having a good old fashioned time. And maybe, just maybe, you get to see Jay and I do our absolute best to huck a
to throw a pitch.
Throw a pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Good. Could be good stuff.
Could be good. Could be embarrassing.
Well, you never know.
We can make the not top 10.
Oh boy.
That'd be great. Or embarrassing.
Things to aspire to.
Yep.
Things to aspire to. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishawn Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin. Y'all, tour season is upon us, and we've just added a bonus show to the roster. Jay and I will be heading to Madison, Alabama on May 23rd in partnership with the Rocket City Trash Pandas minor league baseball team for a one-of-a-kind experience. We will have a full live show, complete with meet and greet, Jay vs. Ben, and a live recording of Through the Gryffindor, plus admission to the Trash Pandas game. Pricing for this show is a little bit different. There's a flat $75 ticket that gets you the meet and greet access, our recording, and the game all included. Tickets are available starting January 16th at 11 a.m. Eastern or 10 a.m. Central and are limited. But also don't forget that we're additionally heading to the Southwest for shows in Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Houston, and Dallas, all kicking off on March 7th through the 16th. Links to all of the shows will be available at supercarlinbrothers.com/events or in the show notes for every episode.